This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Off just about any item. Once again, I'm your host Jesse Tapia, and to start off today's show, we're going to talk some Thursday night football between the Buffalo Bills and New York Jets. Later on, we'll talk some NBA, and then after that, we'll get to talk some more NFL news. After that, we'll do a little bit of some NBA rankings, and then to finish it all off, we'll talk about some soccer and college football going on this weekend. So let's get into it. As for the Thursday night football game, Jets won that one 34-21, and before I even get into the stats and all that good stuff, it seems like in Thursday night football, the road team always has a difficult time, and it's just Thursday night football seems kind of pointless, and the teams, most teams don't like it, players don't like it, so I feel like it's just, I'm not going to say like it's time to get rid of it or anything like that, but we really should look into seeing how they could fix it, and maybe even, like I said right now, maybe right now they shouldn't get rid of it, but maybe next season it might be time, because like I said, players don't like it, coaches don't like it, fans seem not to like it either. So like, we'll see how what they do about that. And as for how the road teams have been doing, this week, of course, the Bills lost. Then the week after, or the week before, was the Dolphins, who were the road team against Baltimore. They got blown out. And then the Chiefs were the road team against the Raiders. They lost. The Eagles won their road game on Thursday night against the Panthers. The Patriots won theirs road game against the Bucks. The Bears lost their Thursday night game against the Packers. The Rams won theirs barely by 2 on the road against San Francisco. And the Texans won theirs. And the Chiefs won theirs. So it's been kind of evenly split, actually. But as of late, the road teams, like as the season's starting to go on and players are starting to get injured more and more tired, and like teams are just like finally starting into the groove, and it's really time for when you're ready to start your playoff push and all that. It seems the road teams have really struggled so far, so we'll see how it plays out for the rest of the season. But yeah, I'm not really a big fan of Thursday night games. Next week, Thursday night, Seattle's going to play the Cardinals. I'm sure Seattle's going to pull that one out. We'll talk about that one later in a few shows after this, actually. But yeah, so the road team really hasn't been doing well, so we'll see how we'll see how the NFL tries to deal with it. And I know, too, that it's not really too popular among fans, because the games really are, they're really poorly played, for being honest here. It's usually a blowout or it's a low-scoring game, so we'll see how they do. But, yeah, let's get into the Thursday night's game between Buffalo and the Jets. I've been really high on Buffalo in the last couple of weeks, and I was thinking maybe that they're going to challenge for the AFC East. They were only a half game behind New England in the division, and it's just, I don't know, it's, I don't understand. They come into New York, face off with the Jets. It's a game they should have won. Or it's a game going into it where you think, yeah, they should win. They're the better team, and they just don't show up at all. Tyrod Taylor was the only one who really had a good game. The receivers did well. A couple of receivers did well for Buffalo. But other than that, it was just pretty much Tyrod Taylor running for his life and just trying to do what he could with what he was given in that game. Tyrod Taylor ended up finishing that game with 285 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked 7 times. We'll talk about that a little later in the segment. And he had a rush TD, so he finished the game with 3 total touchdowns. LeSean McCoy, I was expecting him to have a really big game because the Jets' rush defense has been terrible so far this season. I think they were giving up around 145 yards. Actually, I think it was 125. I can't remember exactly, but it was around there. Yeah, so they were giving up that amount of yards per game. So you're thinking, okay, you know what? Buffalo has a decent offensive line, and LeSean McCoy is one of the best backs in the league. But he didn't do much at all yesterday. He didn't do anything, actually. He only had 12 carries for 25 yards, and it seemed like there would be holes opened up, but as soon as he would get past that first level, boom, a linebacker's there, and it tackled him instantly. So LeSean McCoy really didn't have much time to like to how do you say he didn't have time to create space for himself or even get going, because every time that he had like a little bit of room or anything like that, boom, there's a linebacker there waiting for him. And there was times where the offensive line just couldn't hold their blocks against the defensive line, so they got him in the backfield quite a bit. So yeah, LeSean McCoy, only 12 carries, 25 yards, a really bad game for him. Deontay Thompson for Buffalo had 7 receptions, 81 yards, and a touchdown. And Zay Jones had a decent game. He had 6 receptions, 53 yards, and a touchdown. So it was kind of an odd game because, like I said, Tyrod Taylor wasn't playing bad. He just wasn't getting too many opportunities to make plays. So yeah, Buffalo's offense really didn't do him any favors. And they also turned the ball over 3 times. There were both 3 fumbles, I believe. Yeah, there were 3 fumbles in the game from Buffalo. So Josh McCown had a Josh McCown game. He only had 140 yards and a touchdown. But like I said, you really don't need that guy to do too much. And Matt Forte, he finally had a really good game for the Jets, probably his best one so far this season. He had 14 carries for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. Bilal Powell also had 9 rushes for 74 yards. So they actually probably had their best rushing game of the season between the two. And it was kind of weird. It was like a switch. Like I said earlier, the Jets are giving up one of the most rushing yards in the league. And Buffalo actually gives up one of the least amount of rushing yards per game. I think it was around 75 or 85 for Buffalo. So, yeah, it was pretty much vice versa, like a switch. Buffalo's rush defense was terrible, and then New York's rush defense actually played really well. And you wouldn't really expect that because, obviously, LeSean McCoy is a better back compared to Bilal Powell and Matt Forte. So, yeah, it's kind of odd how it played out. But, like I said, it might have to do with one of those Thursday night games. Road teams actually, since they gotta fly fly out after their game, really they lose a day of practice, so it's at a disadvantage for them. But anyways, Robbie Anderson finished with 4 receptions, 48 yards and a touchdown. I think that was his third touchdown or his third straight game with a touchdown. He's been playing really well so far. And then the New York Jets defense, they forced 3 fumbles, recovered them all. Buffalo, their offense or their total offensive yards finished with 307, and the Jets finished with 331. So let's get into scoring plays in the game. In the first quarter, Josh McCown had a 10-yard run touchdown, which brought him up 7-0. First quarter finished 7-0 with the Jets up. Second quarter comes, and Zay Jones catches a 10-yard pass from Tyrod Taylor for a touchdown, which made it 7-7. And then Chandler Catanzaro kicked a 45-yard field goal, which finished the first half 10-7. And before I get into the second half, after the first half, you think, you know what, it's going to be a pretty good game. It's a rivalry game. Buffalo's been playing well. They're back in it. They were kind of starting off kind of slow in the first quarter, but once the second quarter came, it looked like they were starting to put it together. And it's just how the first quarter or first half played out. And you just thought, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good game. So we'll see how it plays out. But then the second half comes, and in the third quarter, Robbie Anderson catches a 25-yard pass from Josh McCown for a touchdown, which makes it 17-7. So then after that, you're thinking, okay, Buffalo's got to come back and score. Maybe their defense can just hold the Jets' offense for the rest of the game. And it just wasn't happening for them at all. Later on in the quarter, Matt Forte had a 10-yard run for a touchdown, which made it 24-7. You're thinking, you know what, the Jets might actually pull this one out. It might be a blowout. And sure enough, that's how it ended. The third quarter ended with the Jets up 24-7. And then the fourth quarter comes, and once again, Matt Forte has a 5-yard run for a touchdown. That makes it 31-7. And then after that, you pretty much know the game is over. Buffalo's not coming back. The offensive line played terrible yesterday. They gave up 7 sacks, and they couldn't get LeSean McCoy any room to run. So, yeah, the fourth quarter comes. Matt Forte scores. Then Chandler Catanzaro kicks another field goal, which makes it 30-47. And then Buffalo got a couple of garbage time TDs. Deontay Thompson had a 26-yard pass from Tyrod Taylor for a touchdown, which made it 14-34. And then with 2:29 left, Tyrod Taylor did a QB sneak at the goal line and scored a touchdown for that one, which made it 21-34. And that's how the game finished right there. And as a NFL fan, you really don't like seeing people like LeSean McCoy have bad games, but I was playing the guy I'm playing in fantasy football this week. He has LeSean McCoy, so I was pretty happy about that. Austin Seferian Jenkins is also a guy I have on my team, but he really didn't do all too much yesterday. He only had like 2 catches for 20 yards, I believe, and in a PPR league, PPR in that league, catches are worth half a point. So he only gave me 3 points. So from a fantasy standpoint, I was pretty disappointed, but from a NFL fan standpoint, it's kind of interesting because now the Bills are 5-3. Miami's only a half game back right now. They're 4-3. And I think, let me double check. I think Buffalo, as of right now, they'll still have that fifth wild card spot. But, I mean, that could change because you could see a team like Jacksonville win this week and Miami win this week, which would put Buffalo in danger of their playoff spot because they were looking pretty good so far this season. Everyone was starting to put them up, not as a great team or anything like that, but a team who was going to make the playoffs and they were going to give the Patriots a scare for the division. But as of right now, when you lose games against the Jets like this, and I'm not trying to knock the Jets. I'll actually talk about them in a few moments. But for the Bills, you need to win games like this. Your defense all season has been playing well. Offensive line, it's not one of the best, but they do a good enough job to help LeSean McCoy do his thing and give Tyrod Taylor the time to do his also. And like just like I said yesterday, Tyrod Taylor just had no time to do anything yesterday. Like I said, he finished getting sacked 7 times. And as a quarterback, you really can't do much there, even with how mobile Tyrod Taylor is. It's just he had no room at all to move around or anything like that. So, yeah, Buffalo, I'm not like down on them or anything right now, but it's kind of worrying to see that a team we're expecting to do well for the rest of the season and then a game against the Jets, they played really poor. They played probably the worst game of the season, actually. Yeah, if we're being honest. Yeah, they had their worst game of the season. And it's just they're going to have to pick it up next week. I think next week that they have the Saints, and it's going to be in Buffalo, so it's going to be a little bit better for them. But Drew Brees has been playing well, and then you got to worry about Michael Thomas. Ted Ginn has been having a decent season so far with Drew Brees getting him the ball more and more. And then you got that two-headed monster and running back with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. And that's a nice little 1-2 punch right there, because then you just have Mark Ingram run the ball down the middle, and he's a bully running back. So he's gonna hit you hard when you're coming at him. And then Alvin Kamara is a nice receiving back out of the backfield, so he's always a danger for making plays. So, yeah, really, Buffalo really needs to win next week against the Saints, or else people are going to start talking about them like as if they're the old Bills. Last few seasons, I don't think last year specifically, but yeah, the last few seasons, Buffalo started off okay, and you're thinking, you know, oh yeah, Buffalo's finally going to make the playoffs, and then boom, they just fall off towards the end. So you really hope that this isn't what that is for Buffalo this season. So yeah, I think that next week against the Saints is going to be a must win, just so, because you never want to fall on a two-game losing streak or anything like that, because it's just going to be bad for the locker room. So we'll see how they do. But as far as the Jets go, they're really doing this whole rebuild thing pretty poorly. Now they're 4-5, I believe. Let me see exactly. Yeah, they're 4-5 right now. No one really expected them to win any more than 4 games. So I guess this is really a surprise for everyone. Everyone was expecting to probably win in between maybe 1-3 games, because the Jets really don't have those superstars or big names on their team. And I'm not trying to knock the players that they have on their squad right now, because those are professional players and obviously they have some type of talent. But like on offense, you got Matt Forte, who's really old. I mean, his best years are behind him. Bilal Powell is kind of like an off and on back. He's pretty solid. And then Elijah McGuire, he's a young kid who really doesn't get the ball too much. But and as far as receivers go, their best receiver is Robbie Anderson. Best tight end is Austin Seferian Jenkins, but he's had trouble in the past. But this year, he's looked like he's finally put his head on straight, and he's doing well for them. And then, like I said, you got a guy like Josh McCown, who's been a journeyman quarterback his whole career. I think he had that one good year in Chicago for them. I think that's when Jay Cutler went down. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, Josh McCown had a good year in that, a good year for the Bears that season. And that's pretty much – that's one of the reasons why I think he's still in the league. But this season he's been playing well. He's playing like a game manager. He's not forcing the ball or anything like that. He's not creating too many interceptions. He's just throwing the ball and just not making mistakes. And that's all you can ask for from a quarterback like that. And as far as the defense goes, there's a no-name defense right now. They got Marcus May and Jamal Adams playing safety, and they've been lights out so far for this team. But then the linebackers and defensive line, I mean, you got Muhammad Wilkerson, but he's been kind of injured throughout the season. And as far as like having superstars on the defense, it's kind of interesting because, like I said, they don't have any superstars, but these linebackers know how to do their job. And that's one thing that's impressed me so far with Jets defense is that they're linebackers. Whenever you see a run play, you always see them fill their gaps. They're not trying to make the hero play or anything like that. They're doing their job. And I feel like that's why they've been so successful so far this season. So, yeah. But as far as that whole rebuild goes, they're doing pretty poorly. Now that they've won 4 games, I'm sure that they're going to win a couple of more, and that pick isn't going to be as low as they wanted. because I know that Jets fans have wanted, they were looking at Sam Darnold for the next quarterback for them, but if he comes out, he's going to go top five, I think, and I don't think that the Jets are going to finish with a top five pick based off of how they're playing. They're competing for a playoff spot, actually. I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that, but they're only about a game back of my Jacksonville for that sixth spot, and with Buffalo, they're only about a game and a half behind them for the fifth, and they only have two more losses than Miami, but that's only been due because Miami hasn't had a bye this week, or they did have a bye, so they've been playing, they're going to be playing for 16 weeks straight. So yeah, I don't expect the Jets to make the playoffs or anything, but I think that they're still going to win a couple more games, possibly three more games. That'll put them to 7-9, and that's going to give them a mid-round pick, which is going to hurt that rebuild pretty bad. So we'll see how they do. I mean, you never want your team to play bad or anything like that, so it's kind of good to see that the Jets are out here playing hard and winning games. But that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to talk some NBA from Thursday night, and we'll be right back. Hey, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Have you been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, AdamandEve.com has an offer that you're not going to be able to resist. You go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all they're offering. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you're also going to receive three free adult DVDs, you know, just in case you need that little inspiration, plus a free extra gift so sensual I can't even mention it on the podcast. And to top it all off, they're going to throw in free shipping on your entire order, and we all know how we love that free shipping. And no, they're not kidding about any of this. So check out AdamandEve.com today for the special offer. Once again, you're going to get 50% off when you type in the promo code SPORT, that's S-P-O-R-T, SPORT, upon checkout. When you do that, you're going to get three free DVDs, a free extra gift, and that free shipping. Just use the offer code SPORT at AdamandEve.com. Again, that's S-P-O-R-T, SPORT, at AdamandEve.com. Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. In the last segment, we talked about the Thursday night games. If you want to check that out, go ahead. And in this one, we're going to talk some NBA games from Thursday night and give a preview of the Friday night games and maybe talk a little bit about the rookies in the NBA right now. So let's get started. So the Warriors went into San Antonio and faced off with the Spurs. They won that one 112-92. And this game just really showed me that, you know what, the Spurs, they started off 4-0 and they did well, but they're not going to be able to, I think they've lost four straight after that, so they can't sustain a winning method without Kawhi Leonard or Tony Parker, more so Kawhi Leonard, because like even if Tony Parker wasn't out there and they did have Kawhi, they'd be a lot better than what they are right now. So yeah, they lost that game 112-92. Draymond Green had 16 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He shot 7 of 8 for the game. Kevin Durant had a really good game. He scored 24 points, had 8 rebounds, and shot 9 of 18. Steph Curry had a pretty quiet game. He scored 21 points, had 8 rebounds and 4 assists, had shot 7 of 13 in that one. That's pretty funny to say how Steph Curry had a pretty quiet game when he had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 21 points. And for a normal player, that's actually a really good game. But Steph is one of the best shooters in the world, probably the best shooter of all time. So, yeah, he had a decent game. But Klay Thompson had 27 points on 11 of 17. Team shooting, shot 5 of 8 from the 3-point line, and Klay Thompson has just became that forgotten Warriors player. Whenever he has a big game, you really still don't see too many people talking about it. You always see the hype around Kevin Durant or Steph Curry, and then, you know, Draymond Green is always going to have his name in the headlines, whether it be for a good game or something else. But yeah, Klay Thompson has become that forgotten player for the Warriors. But yeah, he's been playing pretty well so far this season. And yeah, he's just been solid for them so far, and it just kind of stinks for him because I know that when they first brought in KD, he had a little comment. I can't remember exactly what the comment was, but he said that he wasn't going to give up his role for anybody, and sure enough, that's exactly what he's had to do. So yeah, let's give a shout out to the forgotten Splash Brother, Klay Thompson. And then LaMarcus Aldridge had 24 points and 10 rebounds. He's really been holding it down for that team since with Kawhi and Tony Parker being out, and I feel like once Kawhi and Parker are going to be out, the Spurs are going to be a dangerous team. You're going to be able to compete with the Warriors. I still, like I said multiple times in the shows before, I like the Warriors in the final. I'm going to the finals out of the West. But the Spurs are going to, they're gonna cause some trouble for them. And I think that they can handle Houston or Houston and Oklahoma City once Kawhi comes back. And Tony Parker is going to be a big plus, but we'll see about that. Kyle Anderson had 16 points and 7 rebounds in that game. And the Spurs shot poorly in that game. They only made 39% of their field goals, and then they only shot 29% from three. And against the Warriors, you're always going to have to play your best, or else you have no shot. And like I said, Spurs just shot poorly throughout that game. The Warriors shot 51% from the field and 50 actually from three-point line. So yeah, the Warriors had a really good game. And there's not really much the Spurs can do when you're not playing well. You always got, like I said, you just got to be perfect against the Warriors. And let's talk about the next game, which would be the Lakers, who went into Portland. This was actually the best. I enjoyed this game big time right here. Portland won this 113-110. Brook Lopez had 27 points. Lonzo Ball, we'll talk about him a little bit later in this segment. He had 0 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and he only took 2 shots. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 14 points. Kyle Kuzma had 22 points on 10 of 17 shooting. He had a really good game. Damian Lillard, he had a solid game also. He scored. He actually hit the game winner at the end with about 7/10 of a second left. It was just an incredible shot how he did it. And he finished the game with 32 points. He shot 8 of 18. He had 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And CJ McCollum picked himself up a little bit. Had 22 points, shot 8 of 18, shot 5 of 8 from 3, which is pretty good. Really good, actually. And Joseph Nurkic had 28 points on 12 of 20 shooting. Had 5 rebounds and 5 assists, so it was a really big game for them. But I want to get a little bit more in-depth into this game. Lonzo Ball, I know there's been a lot of hype around him, and that could be due to his dad, LeVar, because I know his dad, LeVar, does like to talk a lot, and it is kind of entertaining, but I think that it's starting to hurt Lonzo a lot more because Lonzo's playing really passive right now. He's not aggressive at all. He's looking scared right now. Yeah, he's playing scared for the Lakers. He's not driving in or anything like that. He's not taking too many shots. And it's just the Lakers really need more out of him. He's not even looking like the best rookie on his team. Kuzma, I'm going to say this right now, so far this season, has showed that, yeah, he is the best rookie on this team. Alonzo Ball's second after that. But for a guy that you drafted a second overall, you don't want your second overall pick being the second best rookie on your team. You need him to be actually leading your team. That's a guy that you're supposed to build a team around. And Magic Johnson said that in the beginning of the year that, you know what, yeah, we drafted Alonzo. He's going to be the future. And so far, he hasn't been playing like he's the future. He's playing scared out there. He's not driving in. He's just not assertive at all. He's not aggressive. He's letting these other point guards bully him. And like I said, as a second round pick, you just can't let that happen. And you know what? Who knows? Like, if he doesn't pick it up or whatever, I mean, a lot of the hype, like I said, came from his dad. So that might be just one of the reasons why he was drafted so high. And you know what? He might end up playing like he was supposed to be drafted in the mid first round. But we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Kyle Kuzma is a player who I'm really high on right now. And actually, before we talk a little bit about him, can't really pronounce my words today, but yeah, when we talk a little bit about him, first I want to get into Larry Nance. He broke his hand in the game, and that's really brutal for the Lakers. I like Larry Nance a lot on that team. He's been playing well. He does his job, but with him out, you're going to see Kuzma come out, and hopefully he starts. There's going to be between him or Julius Randle, but I think that they should give Kuzma the start because he's been playing lights out. Like I said, he had 22 points yesterday. Yeah, he had 22 points on 10 of 17 shooting, had 3 rebounds. And he's doing what Lonzo should be doing right now, honestly. Lonzo should be putting up those kind of numbers. I know he's a rookie. I know it's early. But Lonzo Ball, you're a second-round pick. You need to start playing better. You need to be more aggressive. And you need to show the Lakers why. Like, you need to justify it from why they selected you so high. Because now I know Marco Fultz is out, but they could have taken a guy like Dennis Smith Jr. or even De'Aaron Fox, which I think those are better point guards than Lonzo. I thought that before the draft. And it's just he needs to start playing well or else Laker fans are going to get mad and start turning on him. But we'll see how it turns out. I mean, he's still got a lot of time. But as far as Kuzma goes, yeah, I think that he should get the start with Lance out. I know Julius Randle's been playing pretty well so far, but he hasn't been getting that many minutes, so I expect for him to stay on the bench. Like yesterday, Randle only played 19 minutes. He shot 4 of 6, had 8 points, but really don't think that the Lakers really see him as a starter on that team. So yeah, expect Kuzma to go out. And that reminds me too, I want to talk a little about the rookies so far in this league. rookie class has been kind of odd. It's like there's been good player, like players you expected to play well haven't been playing all that well, and then players you expected needed time to get into things, they're starting to play really well right now. Markelle Fultz, that whole situation, Sixers botched that one big time. If beforehand they knew in the draft that his shoulder was messed up, then they should have just kept their pick and drafted a guy like De'Aaron Fox or Dennis Smith. Or even, I don't think Lonzo Ball would have been a good fit on the team just because of how Ben Simmons plays. He's more of a ball handler, and with Lonzo not really being aggressive or anything like that, you really wouldn't see a fit for him on the Sixers. So, yeah, I think they should have probably, I know hindsight is really something that's not a good thing or anything like that, but now that we've gotten to this point, you think maybe they should have taken Dennis Smith Jr., De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Smith Jr., really, he hasn't been playing the best, but he's been really, he's aggressive. He drives in, he takes his shots, and you're only going to get better when you're doing that. It's going to help you develop. And De'Aaron Fox has been playing really well for the Kings so far this season. He had had a couple of bad games. He had pretty much one bad game against the Wizards. He played okay against the Celtics. And as far as everything else, he's been playing really well. It looks like he's starting to develop a lot more, a lot better. And soon enough, I think next year, this year I don't think that Fox will be starting, mainly because of how he was in that Wizards game. So I think Dave Yeager is going to give him a lot more time just to come off the bench and develop and just build his confidence. But by next year, I expect De'Aaron Fox to be a starter. And I'm sure that they're going to end up trading George Hill next year too, so they can get another pick out of him, probably a first-round pick. But yeah, De'Aaron Fox is a player who's been playing really well so far. Jason Tatum, he's been playing really well so far. I think he's averaging around 14 points and 8 rebounds. And he's shooting around 50% from the field, and I think he's shooting around 55% from three. And for the Celtics, that's a really big hit right there, because hit in a good way, I mean, because they're trying to compete for a championship. I know that they really don't stand much of a chance against the Warriors, but the Cavs are looking weak right now. The Wizards aren't looking as good as we expected them to be. The Wizards are still a good team. I'm not saying that they're not. Like I said, they're just not playing up to expectations, and I know it is early. But when you have your third-round pick contributing and starting, and just like I said, he's just contributing a lot to the team right now, even with Kyrie Irving being the first option. Al Horford has been having a big year, and then you got Jaylen Brown. So when Jason Tatum's getting the ball, he's still making the most of it. So that's really big for the Celtics right there. And then my Rookie of the Year pick is Ben Simmons, and he's been playing lights out so far this season. He's just been incredible. He's averaging near a triple-double, and Philly's got to be really happy about that one after he missed all of last season with that fractured foot, I believe it was. So with him playing well and Joel Embiid doing his thing, and Joel Embiid's looking like he's going to be playing for most of the season. Doesn't look like, hopefully he doesn't get any injuries or anything like that, but yeah, Ben Simmons has been playing really well. He's by far the best rookie in the league right now. He's like, there's like a few tiers right now. It's Ben Simmons. He's in his own tier. And then you got guys like Jason Tatum and De'Aaron Fox in the second tier, I feel. And you can even throw in a guy like Kyle Kuzma in there. He's been playing really well. He's not getting a lot of recognition because of Lonzo Ball. Like I said, Lonzo Ball is a guy with the hype. He's supposed to be the future. But Kyle Kuzma, you might even be able to throw him in with Jason Tatum and De'Aaron Fox. He's been playing that good so far. If you don't believe me, just go check his stats. But yeah, in that third tier is where you have guys like Dennis Smith Jr. and Josh Jackson. And I guess you could throw Lonzo and Laurie Markkanen. Actually, I'll throw him in there. I forgot about him, but he's been playing really well so far this season. And like after that is where you have like guys like Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz, you really can't knock him because it's an injury and you can't really do much about that. But Lonzo's really just got to step up his game. He hasn't been playing good. So I'm not ready to put him up there with those guys. He hasn't been playing like it, so he doesn't really deserve to be mentioned with them right now. So we'll see how he ends up. But as for Friday's games, you got probably going to be the best game of the night, which is Boston at Oklahoma City. It's going to be nice to see Kyrie Irving and Russell Westbrook go up against each other. And then I'm sure Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to be guarding Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. So it's going to be a fun match. It's going to be fun, a lot of fun matchups right there. And then you got Milwaukee at Detroit. That's going to be another good one. Chicago at Orlando. I like Orlando on that one, actually. And then Indiana at Philadelphia. That's going to be probably it's not the like the most hype game of the night, but I think that might be the best game of the night. I know I mentioned earlier right now that Celtics and Oklahoma City might be, but actually Indiana and Philadelphia is going to be a fun game. Miles Turner is a game-time decision for that game, so hopefully he plays. It'll be fun to see him go up against Joel Embiid, and then Victor Oladipo has been playing lights out. And like I said a few moments ago, Ben Simmons is the best rookie in the league right now, so he's always fun to watch. So yeah, it's going to be a good game to watch right there. And then Cleveland at Washington. This is going to be a game that tells us a lot about both teams. Cleveland, really, they need this game right here. If they lose, then they're in trouble. I know it's early. It's been about 2 weeks since the league started. Yeah, so Cleveland really needs to win this one. Washington, if they win this one, then they're just going to show that right now they're better than Cleveland. So it's going to tell us a lot about both teams once the result happens. Then you got Houston at Atlanta. That's going to be a blowout right there. Atlanta is the worst team in the league, and there's no reason why Houston shouldn't win that one. Then Phoenix is going into New York to play the Knicks. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Phoenix right now surprised a couple of people. They're 4-4. And the Knicks, I think they're 3-5 right now. So yeah, it's going to be a good one to see. We're going to see Josh Jackson, Devin Booker, and Kristaps Porzingis in that one. Then New Orleans is going into Dallas to face off against each other. I like New Orleans in that one. Dallas really is looking like one of the worst teams in the league also, but they're really young right now too, and they're rebuilding. Charlotte is playing the Spurs. I think the Spurs are going to bounce back at that one. Miami's going into Denver. That's going to be another fun one to watch. Jokic and Waiters are always fun to watch for their both respective teams. Toronto's playing Utah. That's going to be another interesting one. I like Utah on that one. Utah's been a good team so far. And then probably the most intriguing one of the night, actually. Brooklyn is going into L.A. to play the Lakers, and that means that D'Angelo Russell is going to be having his first game in L.A. since he got traded. And I hope he plays well. I hope he drops 30 at least, because I really don't think that Magic should have got rid of him so soon, because you could tell how he's been playing so far that he's going to be a really solid player. So yeah, I hope he plays well. It's going to be interesting to see how Lonzo Ball plays too, because you know what, D'Angelo Russell is the guy that they traded to get Lonzo, or in order to make Lonzo the future point guard of the team. So it's going to be fun to watch. So we'll see how that one plays out. But other than that, yeah, those are the games I'm looking forward to Friday. And the next segment, we're going to talk some NFL news, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
About the NBA games from Wednesday, previewed some of them for Friday, and in this segment we're going to talk about some NFL news, go a little bit more in depth into the whole Deshaun Watson, what it means for the Texans. Ezekiel Elliott, he won his appeal, so he gets to play Sunday. We'll talk a lot about that right now. Pierre Garçon, we'll talk about him, and Josh Gordon. And then after that, I'll give a little rundown of the games this week and give my predictions. So let's get into it. First, let's start off with Deshaun Watson. Yesterday when I was doing a podcast, I believe it was the sports one, actually, I was doing my NFL power rankings, and then I get the update on my phone saying that Deshaun Watson tore his ACL in practice, and it just stinks to see that a player like that goes down with an ACL injury. I mean, it's awful to see any NFL player go down with an injury, but I'm saying specifically for Deshaun Watson, because he was having one of the best rookie seasons ever, and he was on pace to have the best rookie season ever. I believe he had 19 touchdowns, and the rookie record, I think, for touchdowns in a season is 26 or 27. I think it's one of those, and I'm sure he would have broke that easily and probably would have got around 30 or maybe a little bit more. And he had this offense playing really well this season. With him playing so well and throwing the ball well, you see guys like DeAndre Hopkins finally playing up to their ability. Because the last few seasons, the Texans haven't had a good quarterback. They've been running with Tom Savage, and they had Brock Osweiler for that 1 year. And you could tell that DeAndre Hopkins just was not happy about it at all, because you need a good quarterback in order to have to, maximize your play at wide receiver. And I know that actually there's a player that I'm going to talk about later in the show, Josh Gordon, who might be able to tell me different about that. But yeah, for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, he has the ability, and when you have a good quarterback, you're going to see that ability maximized. So yeah, he was having a good year, and Will Fuller was playing really well. He was really efficient. Actually, I think he had 11 catches going into this so far this season, and 7 of them were touchdowns. So they said, yeah, he was playing really efficient. Just when you have a good quarterback playing well and throwing the ball deep and just having the defense on their toes, that opens up room for your running back. And Lamar Miller, he started off kind of slow, but now he's been having really good games, playing well. I think he had a touchdown last game, and he ran the ball really well too. I think he might have had 2 touchdowns. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, he was playing well too. So now with Deshaun Watson out, they're going to have to go back to Tom Savage, and that's just going to kill the offense. I'm not trying to be a mean guy or anything like that, but it's the truth. Tom Savage isn't a good quarterback, and if he was, he would have kept playing after week one, but he showed Bill O'Brien, you know what, he can't do it, he can't run the offense. And I know it's just the week of the injury right now, but for me, the Texan season is over. I don't think Tom Savage is going to come in. He's already said, I'm not Deshaun Watson, and we know that, but you're not a good quarterback either as it is. So, I mean, it's going to be pretty brutal for the Texans offense, especially for the city of Houston too. They just won the World Series, and then the Astros won the World Series, and then boom, next day, Deshaun Watson out for the year with an ACL injury, man. They couldn't even celebrate for a couple of days. I feel bad for them, actually. Can't even celebrate for a couple of days because the quarterback of your team in Houston is out for the year. And that's just going to, like I said, dude, they were probably going to win the division, and they were just on the way out. They were trending up, but now that Deshaun Watson's out, expect them to lose a lot more games, and I don't really think that they're going to play all too well for the rest of the season. But we'll see. Maybe Tom Savage could be a game manager quarterback and just get the offense going, but I doubt it. And then they picked up Matt McGloin to be the backup, and I kind of disagree with that one. I was kind of hoping that they'd pick up Kaepernick, even if it was to be the backup, because I feel like Kaepernick could do well with an offense like this. He has the weapons around him, and he's got a good running back. And if you remember in San Francisco when he was playing well, he did have good receivers around him. He had Crabtree, and he had Frank Gore, and that offensive line was just amazing. And he had a good defense. It was pretty much just like that team, but they went back with McGloin. I know he did play for Bill O'Brien at Penn State, so it does make sense, but I would have liked to see a guy like Colin Kaepernick get a shot over here, but he didn't, so we got to move on from that. And then Pierre Garçon, he's out for the year with a neck injury, I believe. The Niners placed him on IR. I think it was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday they placed him on IR. Or actually, it might have been Thursday. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, he's on IR for the rest of the season. So the 49ers really don't have too many receiving options. I mean, Pierre Garçon was by far the best, and I don't think that Kyle Shanahan should have Jimmy Garoppolo go out there. They don't have a good team around him. Yeah, they have Carlos Hyde, but Jimmy Garoppolo has no one to throw to now. So I feel like they should just actually probably throw him in for the last few games, have him learn the playbook a lot more, and then see how he does with what he has out there. So yeah, I think that's what they should do with him. But Josh Gordon finally reinstated. I know I mentioned it on the last podcast, but I'm going to go a little bit more in depth in this one. Yeah, he's reinstated, and I'm really happy for him. I remember when he was playing, he made Brandon Whedon look like a decent quarterback, and that's pretty difficult to do. And that's why I said earlier, for a receiver, it takes a good quarterback to help them. But Josh Gordon actually makes the quarterback look better. And I hope that when he comes back, I think he's going to be back with the team around November 20th. I hope that when he comes back, he's able to play decent. I don't expect him to play back to his ability to what he showed us, because he's been out for a couple of years. But hopefully he plays well enough to where he can help Deshaun Kizer bring his confidence back up, because obviously the Browns don't believe in him because they were trying to trade for AJ McCarron at the trade deadline. So he's really probably, I'm sure his confidence is shot right now. So when he gets Josh Gordon back, hopefully that just provides a spark for him. But we'll see about that. And then Ezekiel Elliott, he got his appeal, so he's going to get to play this Sunday. After that, the court's going to, I think it's going to be a 3-panel judge. Yeah, a panel of 3 judges next week who are going to decide whether or not the suspension, they're going to go ahead with it, or whether or not he could keep playing. So yeah, as of this Sunday, he gets to play, and then after that, we'll find out. But it's just this whole situation has been a huge mess for the NFL, not really for Zeke, because he gets to keep playing, so it's worked out really well for him so far. But yeah, it's just been a mess for the NFL, and it's just pretty much he's suspended, he's not suspended, he's suspended, he's not suspended, he's suspended. Oh, it's looking like he's going to be actually suspended for these six games, and then now, boom, not suspended. So yeah, he's going to play Sunday against Kansas City. And that's going to help out Dallas big time, obviously, because he's probably he's the best player on their offense. I think he's better than Dez Bryant. And Dak Prescott's a really great quarterback, but Zeke Elliott's probably the best, one of the best running backs in the league. He's right behind Le'Veon Bell, I feel. So, yeah, it's going to be really big for them. So, other than that, let's get back into these games, and I'll give a little prediction for each. So, Falcons are heading into Carolina. They're going to face off with the Panthers. Yeah, Atlanta's favorite in that one, and I like Atlanta in that one, too. I'm going to pick them. Panthers' offense has been looking brutal so far this season, and they don't have Kelvin Benjamin anymore, so it can only get worse, right? Then the Colts are going into Houston, and before, if Deshaun Watson wouldn't have went down, Houston's my pick a million times, but now that he's out, I'm going to go with the Colts. Don't think Tom Savage is going to be able to do well, and I really like Jacoby Brissett for the Colts, so yeah, I'm going Colts in that one. Then Bengals are going heading into Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville in that one. Not really going to be much of a game, I think. Jacksonville's going to dominate. And then the Bucs are heading into New Orleans, facing off with the Saints. I like the Saints in that one. I think that Drew Brees is going to throw all over that secondary, and it's going to be a high-scoring game, I feel. But we'll see. But I like the Saints in that one. And then the Rams are heading into New York to face off with the Giants. I like the Rams in that one. Don't think that the Giants are going to put up much of a fight. And then Denver is heading into Philly to face off with the Eagles. Eagles are going to move to 8-1 after that one. I have no doubt in my mind that they'll win that one. Brock Osweiler is a quarterback, and I can't really, I'm not high on Brock Osweiler. It's not a secret. Don't like him at all as a quarterback. So, yeah, I like Philly in that one. And then Baltimore's heading into Tennessee. It's going to be an interesting game because Baltimore, their offense hasn't been that good. But like I've said before, their defense is what keeps them in it. And Mike Mularkey said that Marcus Mariota's hamstring actually now is 100% now that they're coming off the bye. So I'm going to go Ravens in this one, actually. I think that the defense is going to cause a lot of trouble for Mariota. So, yeah, I like the Ravens in that one. And then the Cardinals are heading into San Francisco to play the 49ers. And you know what? I think that San Francisco is finally going to get their first win of the season. I think that the defense is what's going to win in the game. The Cardinals, I don't expect them to score many points at all. Now that they have Drew Stanton as quarterback, all San Francisco needs to do is just stack the box against Adrian Peterson. They'll be successful. So, yeah, I like the Niners in that one. I think they're going to get their first win, but we'll see. I mean, it's a toss-up, I guess, because the Niners are 0-8, but the Cardinals have a bad team now. So, we'll see. And then as far as next game, Washington is going in to play the Seahawks in Seattle. I like the Seahawks in that one. Seattle's been playing really well. It's going to be bad for the Redskins, I think. They don't have a good receiving core on that team. And Chris Thompson's going to be, he's going to have to do most of the work on that one. Kirk Cousins and him are just going to have to try and do what they can to keep him in it. But I like Seattle on that one now that they have Dwayne Brown. I think Russell Wilson's going to be playing a lot better. The Chiefs are heading into Dallas to play the Cowboys. And when Ezekiel Elliott was suspended, I like the Chiefs in that one. But now I'm going to go Cowboys in this one now that he's playing. They're favored now that Zeke's playing. So, yeah, I'm going to go Dallas in this one. Chiefs defense, they did have 4 interceptions against the Denver in their last game, but I mean, they were playing Trevor Siemian. Dak Prescott's not going to play that bad against them, so yeah, I think that Dallas's offense is going to have a good day against the Chiefs defense, and I think that they're just going to be able to score more points than their Chiefs offense. Actually, I should say, I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Dallas's offense, so yeah, I like Dallas in that one. And then for the Sunday night game, I'll talk a little bit more in depth in the football podcast. So check that one out. But yeah, I like it's going to be Raiders facing off the Dolphins. And I think that I read earlier today on Twitter, I think it was the Raiders, one of the Raiders reporters. He reported that the Raiders are going to be missing 3 quarterbacks. And I know that the Dolphins offense has been terrible so far this season. But when the Raiders are missing 3 quarterbacks and that secondary is already terrible with them in, it can only get worse. So I think that the Dolphins are going to pull that one out. And then for the Monday night game, Detroit's heading into Green Bay, and I like Detroit in that one. I'm probably not going to be picking Green Bay in many games going forward until Brett Hundley shows that he can be a decent quarterback and help the offense get a little bit better. But yeah, I like Detroit in that one. So yeah, that's what I think about all the NFL storylines going on so far this week. I'm give my predictions. So the next segment, I'm gonna do some NBA power rankings. So thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
SMC Sports Podcast. Last segment, we talked NFL, gave my predictions on the games, and for this segment, I'm going to give some NBA power rankings. And I know that NBA, it's probably the most popular sport right now in the country. And on social media, I know it's a really big thing. So I know people are really always disagree with power rankings, and everyone has their opinion. So if you have yours on mine and you disagree, go ahead and let me know. And if you agree, then let me know too. It's always nice to hear. But yeah, let's get started into the power rankings. At number one, I have Golden State. I think they're 6-3 right now. And for a team like Golden State, you really don't expect them to have that many losses so far into this short season. But they're still the best team in the league, so there's no reason to knock them off. At number two, I have Boston. They're the best team in the East right now. They're 6-2 ever since Gordon Hayward came out. You were thinking, oh yeah, you know what, the Celtics are done. They had a lot of high hopes for them. But you know what, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have really stepped up for them so far. So yeah, I like the Celtics at number two. At number three, I got the Houston Rockets. They are 6-3 right now, with tied with the Warriors for the same record in the West. And even with Chris Paul out, James Harden's still been playing really well. Eric Gordon's having a good season. I think he's averaging around 24-25 points a game. So yeah, once Chris Paul comes back, they're gonna get even better. At number four, no one probably would have predicted this in the beginning of the season, but have the LA Clippers. They've been playing really well so far. They're playing as a team, and that's pretty much what they needed to do, missing a guy like Chris Paul. They all just needed to play to their strengths as a player individually, and that's what they're doing. No one's really trying to do too much. Blake Griffin is obviously the leader of that team, and it seems like they know that too. So yeah, the Clippers right now, they're 5-2. They're the number one seed in the West. So yeah, I got them at number four. And then at number five, I have Orlando. And I know that might surprise some people, but right now they're 6-2. They're a young team, and there's no reason why you shouldn't have them that high, because they're just, like I said, they're playing really well. They're a fun team to watch. They're finally starting to put it together, it looks like. Frank Vogel's doing a really good job with that team, and Aaron Gordon's looking like he could win a Most Improved Player this season, or at least be a candidate for it, because he's just playing lights out so far. And then Evan Fournier has also been playing really well so far. So yeah, I'm really high on Orlando this season. I don't think that they're going to be able to maintain this type of play. I think they're gonna finish maybe around the fifth, maybe sixth or eighth seed, but that's pretty good for how they've been playing the last few years. So yeah, I like Orlando at number five. Number six, another team that's surprised some people so far, Indiana. They're 5-3 right now without Miles Turner. He's been out for about a week, I think it is. Yeah, about a week and a half with concussion symptoms. So Victor Oladipo has done well to pick up the slack for them. He's been playing really well so far. And now that he's getting, like, he didn't really get the ball too much at Oklahoma City last year because Russell Westbrook was out there doing his thing. But now he's one of the main guys on that team, and he's starting to be used a lot more, and he's showing why he's a really good shooting guard in the league. So yeah, I got Indiana at number six. Then at number seven, I have Minnesota. They're currently 5-3. That team, if they're going to win a game, it depends on if Jimmy Butler plays well. If Jimmy Butler doesn't play well, then their chances of winning are going to go down very much. And you kind of wanted to see more out of them. It's like you don't want to see them depend on Jimmy Butler so much. You want guys like Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins to go out there and take this team and lead it. But yeah, this team really, their wins and losses really depend on how Jimmy Butler plays. But I have them at seventh. At number eight, I have Washington. They started off kind of shaky, they started off 3-0, I believe. So yeah, they're actually playing pretty shaky as of late. They're 1-3 in their last four. And they have the Caps Friday night, so that's a game that they need to win just to show everyone that, yeah, we still belong at the top in the East right now. And then at number 9, I have Memphis, and that's always a team that everyone can root for, I feel. They've been playing really well so far. They don't have they don't have Tony Allen or guys like that anymore, but they still have Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, and they just they don't have stars at all on that team. Like, I know Mike Conley, actually, you can consider him a star, but as far as like people talking about him and all that stuff, you just can't consider him one, but he plays like one. But yeah, they play really well as a team, and that's why they're 5-3 right now. They're the tied for Minnesota for the fourth seed, and Utah's actually tied with them with a 5-3 record, and we'll talk a little bit about Utah in a moment. But yeah, so right now I got Memphis at number 9, and then at number 10 I have Oklahoma City. They're gonna move up and pick up their play once the season gets going a little bit more, but they're 4-3 right now, and I think that they're still trying to find a way to gel because they do have three guys who need the ball in order to play well: Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook. And you've kind of seen Russell Westbrook give up most of his shots that he was taking last year in order to help Paul George and Carmelo Anthony play well, because you're only seeing Russell Westbrook like nowadays his stat line is usually looking like he's shooting 7 for 12 or 8 for 10 or something like that, and he's just been really efficient so far this season. I think he's averaging a triple-double or at least near a triple-double, so yeah, they just need to find a way to gel completely, and they'll get better, and I'm sure they'll move up these power rankings once the season gets going even more. Number 11, I have Detroit. They're 5-3 right now. Avery Bradley's been playing really well for that team, and Andre Drummond's been getting rebounds, I should say. So yeah, he's been getting a lot of rebounds, and that team's been playing really good defense so far. And I'm sure Stan Van Gundy's been pretty happy about it. So yeah, I got Detroit at number 11. They're 5-3, and they're a team that looking like they're starting to trend up. But yeah, at number 12, I have Charlotte. Kemba Walker's been playing really well for them, and he's the leader of that franchise. And then you got guys like Dwight Howard finally playing well. Dwight Howard went missing the last couple of seasons with his play, hasn't really been playing all too well, but now with Charlotte, I'm not sure what it is, but he's really picked it up. So I got Charlotte at number 12. At number 13, I have the Spurs. Right now they're actually trending down because they've lost 4 in a row after winning their first 4. And now it's starting to show that, you know what, they really need Kawhi Leonard. Greg Popovich has done well so far this season to show that that they can still win games. But without Kawhi, they're not going to be able to compete with the top teams. And they showed us that yesterday, actually, when they played Golden State. So, yeah, they really need Kawhi Leonard. And as of right now, I have them at 13. But once they get Kawhi back, they'll be near the top. Because once Kawhi comes back, he's going to have them playing like a top 5 team in the league. Number 14, I have the Toronto Raptors. They're 4-3 right now. They're an odd team to me because they didn't really bring in too many guys this offseason. They lost PJ Tucker, but they're going to be a top 5 seed this season. I think that they're going to be probably the 5th seed, with Milwaukee being the 4th. Usually Toronto's in that 3 or 4 range, but yeah, I think that now it's going to come down from the top 4. It's going to be, I think that Cleveland, I know I've been really down on them, but I think that they're going to end up picking it up eventually. So I think the top 4, I'm not going to give it an order or anything like that, but it's going to be Cleveland, Milwaukee, Boston, Washington as the top 4 seeds in the East come towards the end of the season. Toronto could surprise us and be up there too, but yeah, I think that they're going to be the 5th seed this season. As for number 15 in my power rankings, I have Utah. Losing Gordon Hayward, you kind of wondered how well they were going to play this season, and so far they've done really well. They're 5-3, and they have the same record as Memphis and Minnesota. So Rudy Gobert has been playing really well. Ricky Rubio actually had a 30-point game a couple of days ago. I think it was against the Trailblazers, and Ricky Rubio is not known for his shooting, and I don't think that he's going to be scoring 30 a game and all that anymore, but it's always good to see. And Donovan Mitchell, it's looking like he's starting to get a little bit more confidence and play better. So if he plays well, then Utah should have no problem making the playoffs. At number 16, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. They started off really hot, but then they're starting to cool down now. That team, it's going to come down to how well Giannis plays. And like I've said before in the last couple of podcasts, I think that he's going to be averaging near 30 points a game, possibly even more. And I've said before that he's my MVP pick, and he still is. So they really need guys like Brogdon and Middleton to step up. I'm not saying that they have played bad or anything like that, but I'm just saying if in order for them to be a top 4 seed like I'm predicting, then those guys just need to be consistent and they should be fine. At number 17, I have the Portland Trailblazers. They're currently 5-4. And the Trailblazers are a team where they have good players, but they just can't seem to really put it together. And compete with those top teams, because Damian Lillard's one of the best point guards in the league. He's probably a top 10 point guard right now. Maybe you could argue top 5. And then CJ McCollum, he's a top 10 shooting guard too, I believe, in this league. So when you have two top 10 guys on your team and Damian Lillard is a superstar, you really want to see more out of them. So we're going to see how it goes this season. But like I said, in the last couple of seasons, they really just haven't been able to put it together and compete with those top teams. Usually like around the middle of the pack in the West. So they're probably going to finish probably with the 6th seed this season. But yeah, you really want to see a team like that do better. But we'll see how that goes. Number 18, I have the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, they're 4-4. Ben Simmons is playing well. Probably going to win Rookie of the Year this season. Joel Embiid's playing really well so far too. And I just like how Philly's done this whole rebuild. It's finally starting to pay off. I'm sure the fans are really happy about that. And you got guys like J.J. Redick, who could be a good presence in the locker room. He's shooting the ball really well too so far this season. So, yeah, they're tied with Milwaukee right now at 4-4. And they're both going to be competing. They're both right now shooting for that 8th seed around there right now. I think Milwaukee's going to be win a lot more come season as the season goes on. So they'll be near the top. But I think that Philadelphia, they're going to stay in that 7th, 8th seed range. So we'll see how it all plays out. Then at number 19, I have the Denver Nuggets. They're another interesting young team that I like to watch. Really high on Nikola Jokic. He's a really good player for them. He doesn't really get his fair shake because he doesn't make those flashy plays or anything like that. He's sort of like a Rudy Gobert type of player. He's not really flashy, but he's going to produce really well for you, and he's gonna do a lot for the team. And then they got Gary Harris and Jamal Murray, who are some really good shooters. And it looks like Paul Millsap is finally starting to get comfortable with that team. So I think that Denver's going to make the playoffs too in the West. They'll probably be a 7th or 8th seed around there. Most likely an 8th seed, I think. And then at number 20, I have Phoenix, and they're 4-4. I'm not too high on Phoenix right now. I don't think that they're that good of a team. I know that they're really young right now, and they are 4-4. But when you fire a coach after 3 games and you're making moves like that, it shows that you really don't really have a real sense of direction. Unless they did have a plan at the beginning of the season, but yeah, Phoenix is 4-4 right now. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think that they're going to slow down as the season progresses. But yeah, as of right now, they're 4-4, and you can't really knock that. 21, I have the Miami Heat. They're 3-4. They're 2.5 games back of the 8th seed right now. And like I said, it's early, so none of this seeding really matters right now. These teams just need to start playing well. And I really like Dion Waiters on that team. And Justice Winslow, he's kind of been a bit of a disappointment, I feel. Since he's been drafted, everyone really expects him to be like one of those athletic, explosive players, and he just hasn't been that so far, but maybe he could pick it up this season. At number 2, I'm sure no one in the beginning of the season would have expected this, but at number 2, I have their 22, I should say. I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've been awful this season. Just brutal. There's just injuries, and they just can't put it together at all as a team. Bringing in Dwayne Wade, I wasn't happy for them about that move at all. Dwayne Wade is just a name now at this point in his career. He's not going to produce how he used to. Even in Chicago, he's not going to play that well like how he did that year. So they really need to figure it out. They really need Isaiah Thomas to come back because without him, LeBron does not have a go-to scorer on that team, doesn't have a player who can create his own shot. Derrick Rose drives in a lot, but he's constantly injured every year, so we're not sure how he's going to hold up. He's already missed a few games in the beginning of the season. So, and Kevin Love, really, he's not the Kevin Love that like we've all expected him. Like, now that Kyrie was out, we all expected him to play a lot better. Like, oh, maybe the Kevin Love from Minnesota is going to show up, but he's not Kevin Love. I don't think he's ever going to get back to that. So I think he's stuck in the role he's had the last few years. So, yeah. Cleveland really needs Isaiah Thomas, and once he comes back, we're not even sure how well he's going to be because of that hip. But yeah, as of right now, Cleveland is at number 22, and they're not playing well at all. They really need to pull out this win Friday night against Washington, or else they're going to be in big trouble. At number 23, I got the New Orleans Pelicans. They got Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, who've been playing well. And once they get Rondo back, I said it before on the last couple of sports podcasts, that once Rondo comes back, they're going to be a team that'll be competing for that 7th or 8th seed, possibly even 6th, because I think that Rondo's a player who's going to make the players around him better. And he's always like he's like a player coach, pretty much. I know that when the Celtics were playing the Bulls last season in the playoffs in that first round, Rondo was pretty much directing everyone, telling them where to go and stuff like that. So yeah, Rajon Rondo, once he comes back, I feel like New Orleans is going to be a decent team. Number 24, I have the Knicks. They're currently 3-4. And I think that they're going to be a lottery team once again this season. But Kristaps Porzingis has been playing really well for them so far. Number 25, I have Brooklyn. And D'Angelo Russell, they're 3-5. They're probably going to be in the lottery too. But I don't think that their pick, the Cleveland owns their pick, I don't think that pick's going to be in the top three. It'll probably be around the 5-6 range, I think, this year. D'Angelo Russell has been playing lights out so far this season and has really provided a spark for that team. So right now they're 3-5, and I have them at 25 on my power rankings. Then at 26, I have the Lakers. They drafted Lonzo Ball in the as a second pick and thought he'd probably be the future of the team. And I'm sure, I know it's early, so we can't really be too down on him. But so far, he hasn't been playing like it. He needs to be more aggressive and take more shots. And who knows, maybe his shot form is what's keeping him from doing that. But yeah, he just needs to be more aggressive. At number 27, I have the Chicago Bulls. They're going to be near the bottom for the rest of the season, I feel. They got Lauri Markkanen, who's been playing really well as a rookie for them. But other than that, they don't really have too much. Still waiting for Zach LaVine to come back, I believe. So yeah, I got them at number 27. At number 28, I have the Sacramento Kings. They're a fun team to watch, but they're just too young right now. And the vets aren't players who can help win them a lot of games. So it's pretty much this. It's going to be a rough season for the Kings, but fans just need to realize that this year is just for development. So we'll see how that goes for them. But yeah, I have them at 28. They're currently 1-7, I believe. Yeah, they're currently 1-7. And they're right there at the bottom with the Dallas Mavericks at 29. Speaking of Dallas, the Dallas Mavericks, I have them at 29. Dennis Smith Jr., he's been going through his rough patches so far this season. He hasn't shot the ball completely well, but I think that he's going to get better as time goes on, and it's good to see that he's taking a lot of shots and just trying to do well, so he's got a lot of confidence. So I got them at number 29, and then at number 30, I have the Atlanta Hawks, and they're finally starting to rebuild. Last few seasons, they've been in the playoffs, but they've just been that mid-round playoff team, or I should say mid-standing playoff team. They haven't really done too much, but now they're going to be rebuilding, and I think that this season, they're going to be probably the worst team in the league going forward. So yeah, who I have ranked at 30th. They're currently 1-7, and I don't expect them to win too many games. So, yeah, those are my power rankings. Like I said, feel free to let me know if you disagree. Feel free to let me know if you agree. And next segment, we're going to talk some college football, some soccer, and just anything else going on in sports. So stay tuned. That's going to be it for this segment. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back for the final segment of the GSMC Sports Podcast. In the last segment, I gave my NBA power ranking, so go ahead and check that out if you missed it. And as for this segment, we're going to talk some college football, some MLS playoffs, and we're going to just give a couple of news and notes around the world of sports. So let me start off with college football. College football, I'm going to talk about games that I'm really interested in this week, storylines I'm looking for in the games, and just, yeah, let's get into it. So this week, a game I'm really looking forward to is Oklahoma, which is going to be heading to Oklahoma State, their stadium to play. Oklahoma is currently ranked 5th, Oklahoma State's 11th, and one matchup I'm really excited to watch for that one. Obviously, they're not going to be going head-to-head, like playing offense defense against each other, but it's going to be quarterback Baker Mayfield versus Mason Rudolph. Baker Mayfield, this season, he's been playing really well, and I think that I've seen that a lot of draft scouts and NFL draft reporters, they're really high on Mayfield, and they even think that he could go top 5 this year in the draft if a guy like Sam Darnold wasn't to come out. And like I spoke on the last sports podcast, Sam Darnold said that he wasn't really sure if he was going to come out, if Cleveland was going to, he didn't say it himself, but a reporter reported it, that he's feeling that if Cleveland is the number one pick, then he probably won't come out and he'll just stay another year. And if they're not the number one pick, then he will come out. So we'll see how that plays out. It's looking like Cleveland is going to have the number one pick once again. So Yeah, there's a good chance that Baker Mayfield could go top five in this year's draft. And Mason Rudolph, quarterback for Oklahoma State, he's a really good quarterback too. I think that he's going to be a guy that goes in the mid rounds next year in the draft if he does come out. And yeah, I think it's going to be a solid matchup. I think I'm going to go Oklahoma State in this one only because they're at home. And college football always seems to have those upsets late in the season to where it messes everything up for the playoff. And I know that right now, if Oklahoma were to win out, that they probably end up in the playoff. But yeah, I think Oklahoma State's going to pull off the upset here. And then the next game, we got number 19 LSU heading to number 2 Alabama. And that just feels weird to say, not number 19 LSU, but number 2 Alabama. I think that they should be ranked number 1 in the playoff right now, but they're not. And I'm sure that they're going to end up number 1 once the season's over and they win the SEC championship, I think. And yeah, I'm picking Alabama to win the SEC championship, so they'll be in that number 1 spot eventually. Right now, LSU is on a 6-game losing streak against Alabama, so if they win, this would finally break that streak. There he is, guys, running back for LSU. He's been pretty good so far this season. He's ran for 711 yards on only 124 carries, and he scored 6 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, he's a weird quarterback for Alabama. He's not like a AJ McCarron type of guy or the other few that they've had before. Right now, he's thrown for 1,223 yards, 9 touchdowns, but he's only thrown 1 interception. That's all you could really ask for out of him. And he's got Alabama's currently undefeated, so he's playing well enough to where it doesn't hurt the team. Calvin Ridley, he has 41 receptions for 523 yards and 2 touchdowns for Alabama. I expect him to have a good game against LSU this Saturday. And then next game, number 13 Virginia Tech is heading to number 10 Miami. So it's going to be a fun game to watch. Both quarterbacks have been playing pretty well so far this season, and they actually have really identical stats. Malik Rozier for Miami, he has 2,071 yards, 17 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. And Josh Jackson, quarterback for Virginia Tech, he has 2,032 yards, 17 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. So this game's really going to come down to which quarterback plays the best, I feel. And Miami needs to pull this one out if they want to be respected and want to have a chance at making that playoff. Next game is going to be Texas versus number 8 TCU. I only highlighted this game because I think Texas is going to come up with the upset in this game. Texas is a team that competes. They're not going to win all their games. I think they're 4-4 right now, but I think that they're going to be able to beat TCU. It's not really like it's like a hunch that I have based off this game. There's no reason to really pick against TCU, but I just feel like this is going to be one of those games. Like I said, college football always has those late season upsets, and I think this is going to be one of them. So Texas, I think, is going to beat TCU this Saturday. And then there's Arizona versus USC. I think USC is currently ranked around 20th, I believe, around there. And Arizona's offense is really fun to watch because Khalil Tate, he's an explosive quarterback. He's thrown for 784 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. But that's not the best part about him. The best part about him is he takes off with the ball and he'll run with it. He's carried the ball 69 times this season. He has 926 yards for 8 touchdowns, and he's just really got this Arizona offense looking dangerous. So I think that Arizona might have a good chance in this one to pull it out, but it's going to be a fun game. Sam Darnold currently, he's got 2,558 yards passing, 20 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. He really hasn't had the year we expected him to have, but he's still going to be a top 5 quarterback if he does come out in the draft. So we'll see about that. And then Ronald Jones has been a really good running back for USC so far this season. He's ran for 888 yards on just 132 carries and 10 touchdowns. And then Deontay Burnett for USC has 61 receptions, 788 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So yeah, it's going to be one of the funner games. I know people on the East Coast really don't get to watch Pac-12 football because it's late all the time. But I think that this is a game that everyone needs to watch. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be one of those 41-42 type of games. It's going to be in that range. So we'll see how it all plays out. And then Clemson is heading to NC State to face off with them. Clemson's currently ranked 4th in line to make the playoff. And then NC State is currently ranked 20th. Quarterback for Clemson, Kelly Bryant, currently has 1,582 yards for 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And Ryan Finley for NC State has 2,181 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And I think I'm gonna go with an upset for this one, too. It's a home game for NC State. The fans are going to be going wild for that one. So it's going to be a really fun game to watch. Clemson has been playing like a really good team so far. But like I've been saying multiple times in the past few moments, it's just these are when the upsets come. So I like NC State in that one. So, yeah, those are the college football games I'm looking forward to this weekend. Check them out. I think they're all going to be really good games. But let's get into some MLS. So as of right now, MLS is currently in the quarterfinal for their playoffs in the East and West. Seattle beat the Vancouver Whitecaps Thursday night 2-0. Clint Dempsey, that dude's been such a great player for Seattle and for the U.S. men's national team since he's been on there. He scored 2 goals, and you can always count on Clint when you need a big-time play. So, yeah, they're up 2-0, and it looks like they're going to advance up to the Western Conference Final. For Friday's games, Toronto's going up against the New York Red Bulls. Toronto currently leads 2-1 on aggregate, and I think Toronto's going to advance out of this one, too. I think their team is just too high-powered for New York. And with Giovinco and Josie Altidore leading the attack, I don't see why they'll lose in this one. So as for the next game, we got New York City FC facing off with Columbus. It's currently 1-4 on aggregate with Columbus leading. And Columbus, they're in a bit of a weird place right now because there's talk about the team moving to Austin, Texas. And Columbus is one of those original teams that started up when the MLS started. So it'd be kind of sad to see a team like that move, but it's going to be a really exciting playoff run for them, because if they end up somehow winning the entire thing, you might even see Columbus stay. And I know the fans really want them to stay too. So yeah, I like Columbus advancing after Friday. And then Portland at Houston, that's going to come down to whoever wins the game, because they're currently tied 0-0 on aggregate. I'm going to go with Houston for this one, just because Houston sports right now has just been on fire. I mean, obviously not with Deshaun Watson. I shouldn't say that they've been doing all too good, because after the World Series win from the Astros, Deshaun Watson got hurt. But I think that Houston's going to beat Portland, and I think they're going to advance. Eric Torres has been playing well for them so far, and I think that he might be able to get a goal, so we'll see. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the MLS right there. And then we're going to go over some news and notes in the world of sports right now, so let's get into it. In baseball, I know that the season just ended, but for a little note, the Angels gave Justin Upton a 5-year deal, so he's going to be there for a while. And actually, a little sad thing that happened after the World Series was Yasiel Puig's house got broken into, or he had another home, actually. Yeah, he had another home that was burglarized. After the World Series, his home was broken into, and I guess his second house got burglarized also, so it really stinks to see. He's a really good player, and he's fun to watch during baseball, but yeah, you never want to see anyone's house get broken into. As for the NFL, once again, Ezekiel Elliott won his appeal for Friday, so he gets to play Sunday. And next week is when the three judges and one panel are going to decide on whether or not they're going to go through with the suspension or they're going to let Zeke play for the rest of the season, so we'll see about that. Again, Tom Savage is going to be the quarterback this Sunday for the Texans. And then Jordan Reed is out again on Sunday against Seattle. And just Jordan Reed is just, he's got the ability to be a really good player. And, he's got the ability to be a really good player, but he just can't stay on the field at all year after year. So, yeah, he's going to be out Sunday. And I'm sure he's probably going to miss a few more games this season just based off of his injury history. So, yeah, that's how that's going. As for the NBA, of course, LeBron told reporters that him and the Cavs are eager to turn things around, and we all know that, obviously, because LeBron doesn't want to be on a losing team or anything like that. But this is going to be a weird season, because if the Cavs don't pick it up and they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose, I would expect that LeBron does leave after the season. I'm not too sure where he's going to go. One of his agents said that if he leaves, it's going to be due to winning, so he's going to want to go to a winning team. I know that the Lakers have been a team that have been thrown around in there for a possible landing spot for LeBron James, but Lakers really don't look like a team that are going to be winning anytime soon. They're trying to develop the young guys, and even if LeBron was there, they wouldn't be nowhere near as good as the Warriors or Houston. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this season plays out for him. John Wall or Bradley Beal actually thinks that the Wizards are the best team in the East and that they control their own destiny. I think the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens would disagree, but the Wizards are always going to be a team near the top, and it'd be kind of fun actually to see the Celtics and Wizards in the Eastern Conference Finals this season, just based off of how their series in the Eastern Conference semifinals went last year. It went 7 games, and Kelly Olynyk, he doesn't play for the Celtics anymore, he plays for the Heat now, but he had that crazy game 7, which helped the Celtics advance, so that'd be another fun series to see. Marcus Morris is set for his season debut for the Celtics on Friday night against the Thunder. He's going to be a big help to that team because he can help rebound, and he's just a bully. He plays bully ball out there too, so he's just that added toughness to the team. So it's going to be fun to see him out there. And then, like I mentioned earlier in about the second segment, I believe, Larry Nance suffered a broken hand versus the Blazers, so he's going to be out for quite a while. And you never really want to see that because Larry Nance has been a really good player for the Lakers since they drafted him. So hopefully he recovers fast and he comes out and plays well again. And then Al-Farouq Aminu is going to be out for the Blazers with an ankle injury for 2 to 3 weeks. So that's just going to be another player that they're missing. But I think that CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard can handle it. So we'll see how it goes for them. But those are the news and notes going on around sports. Again, check out those college football games that I highlighted this week. And that's going to wrap it up for our show today. Thanks for listening. This is the GSMC Sports Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.